You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
But joining us to talk about that and the other NFL news of this Thursday from YahooSports.com, friend of the show, Eric Edholm. Eric, good morning. Thanks for joining us as always.
Yeah, good morning. You have my permission not to ask me about a 2023 mock draft. I mean, that's fine if you guys want to skip over that.
Yeah, we're going to pass. We're trying to wrap our heads around the major league draft since the Orioles have the first pick. But before we get to said draft, Baker Mayfield, still a member, property, I guess, of the Cleveland Browns. Carolina drafted Matt Corral. They've stated that Sam Darnold's still their guy. Seattle doesn't seem to have much interest there. What's going on with Baker? Could there be an uncomfortable situation with him still a member of the Cleveland Browns once they get to training camp and all that fun stuff?
Yeah, it really is a strange deal. And trying to figure out what the next step is tricky, because right now, as you said, there seems to be lukewarm at best interest. I think the Panthers would have been interested. It sounded like trade talks broke down, likely over the amount of money Cleveland would have to pay. And they pivoted to Matt Corral in the draft. So, Seattle's interest was always sort of lukewarm at best. I think they felt like maybe he wouldn't be a fit for their offense. Of course, I've always maintained that you cater the offense to the strengths of the personnel you have. But I understand it wasn't, they're not prepared to make that big of a shift at this point in the offseason, I would think. And, just roll with Drew Lock and Geno Smith and see what they have and probably look for a quarterback next year. So, unless we have one of these sort of Sam Bradford-type situations. Remember when Teddy Bridgewater got hurt in training camp, they had to make, the Vikings had to pivot and make a quick change on August 1st. I mean, I don't really know where this goes. There's also the factor that Deshaun Watson probably is facing some kind of suspension, or maybe. We haven't really heard too much clarification on that. And, even though he got off in the civil suits, I think there's obviously a possibility, which we've seen before, for players still getting a suspension, even if they're not, convicted or whatever. So, it's a really tricky, thorny, awkward situation, especially after Baker essentially said goodbye before the team had made any kind of decision on Watson. So here's where we are, and I don't know how this thing is resolved.
All right, let's stay with the former Oklahoma quarterbacks, Jalen Hurts in Philly. They've been doing everything they can, the Eagles, to stockpile that wide receiver talent. Do you think he's going to make? Because I'm guessing they hope he makes a serious one in 2022.
Yeah, and they're set up to where if he doesn't, they've got the two firsts next year as well. I mean, I think they handled it pretty darn well overall. You look at the moves that the Eagles made, the veteran moves, including getting A.J. Brown and also the draft moves as well, getting a couple Georgia Bulldogs and Jordan Davis and N'Kobe Dean, and getting their center of the future whenever Kelsey retires and Cam Jurgens too. I mean, I thought the way they positioned themselves, securing enough draft ammo this year as well as next year, this is the kind of thing that could, put them in a perfect spot if Hurts doesn't take that step up. And I think they've got a pretty good receiving core now. I mean, you can argue that Jalen Reagor was a bad pick. You could argue that the kid out of Stanford, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, was a miss as well. But Devontae Smith and Brown now, and a good tight end core as well. I mean, it's all set up for Hurts to succeed. And if he doesn't, they have a clear path towards finding his replacement next year in the draft.
Hey, Eric, what team, would you consider that added enough pieces and stuff that now you think that they're a legitimate contender?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the Ravens would be one. I think, given you know, their situation last year. Colts would be, you know, another near miss team that, you know, even without a first round pick, Indianapolis, I thought, did really well in the draft and, you know, answered a couple needs with left tackle and tight end and receiver. And so, I mean, I think that was, you know, they made the most of their picks, and obviously Baltimore too. I feel like I probably come on your show and other shows every year and say, mm-hmm. wow, the Ravens, you know, the draft just seems to come to them somehow. I don't know how they do it, but every year it feels like they, you know, it's not just luck. I don't want to make it sound like I'm thinking that, you know, this is all just some sort of divine thing that just sort of magically happens. No, I mean, they obviously position themselves very well. And I love the fact that Eric DaCosta can go to the NFL Combine and rave about Tyler Lindebaum and compare him to Marshall Yanda and, you know, basically forecast his move, and nobody sort of paid attention. It was unbelievable. I was standing right there. I couldn't believe it. And sure enough, they get their man and do really well with Kyle Hamilton and the rest. Their fourth round was tremendous. So, yeah, just another great year. Those are the first two that come to mind. I guess if you're a little bit more of a betting man or, you know, risky investor, maybe you say, wow, the Jets, you know, their first four picks were outstanding. You know, they finished the draft up by round four. Does Zach Wilson have enough in him in year two? I don't know. But, you know, they've become a lot more talented.
Eric, what's it going to mean if Lamar Jackson doesn't show up May the 24th for on the field, you know, when they're OTAs? Because every year prior to this, he's always been at the off-season workouts day one.
Yeah.
Now, you know, what's it say if he doesn't show up?
It just adds another layer of confusion to the situation. And obviously everybody now knows that, you know, Lamar essentially represents himself. You know, I know his mother's involved in the process, and, you know, he might have some other advisors who are, you know, can talk to him about contract details and language and things like that. But it doesn't seem like there's a whole lot of urgency from Jackson himself. If you take the Ravens at their word, which I have no reason not to, I mean, everything we've heard at this point is that there hasn't been a whole lot of, you know, incentive or drive on Jackson's side to get a deal done. And does he not want to play there? Does he want to play there? Fair to wonder what the long-term pairing means, but obviously, you know, Jackson, I think, holds a real special place in Baltimore right now. I mean, he's what's going on there, and if they can't, you know, find kind of a common ground, it obviously puts him in the category of, you know, Kyler Murray and other young quarterbacks whose future in their respective cities is hard to determine. So, you know, the Ravens have done a lot of good things, I think, this offseason and made some, you know, some tough decisions, but also some good ones that I think have set them back on the path of being the team that was, what, 8-3 to start, not the one that finished the way it did. So I don't know. It would be a lot easier to get information if he had an agent. And, you know, obviously that works both ways, but I really don't know exactly what the future holds.
All right. Now the schedule comes out Thursday. You know, me and Haney both think that the Ravens are going to get either a Christmas Day game or a Thanksgiving Day game. What do you think?
Thanksgiving night.
Thanksgiving night. Yes. What do you think?
And why? I mean, I'm just curious because I don't know. Is there some reason why? Just because they typically are involved in some of these.
Yeah, usually get four or five a year, and it's a
marquee thing. You
figure
Lamar Jackson,
et cetera.
You know, and you know they have to play Tampa on the road. They got Denver on the road.
They have Buffalo.
Buffalo
too.
On the road. So they've got some marquee games that I would think, you know, and me and Bob, we do the pregame show, and that would screw things up for Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Can't wear your fuzzy slippers to the pregame show, Eric. You know what I mean?
So you guys have a fatalistic approach to this. Like,
correct.
I just know my holiday is going to be messed up. Yeah, obviously, you know, it makes sense, right? They're kind of one of the marquee franchises that often get – some of these big games. And yeah, it's always interesting to see how the league views teams and these games, you know, the primetime games and the holiday games, obviously, especially with the Christmas game seemingly thumbing their noses at the NBA a little bit on this one. I mean, it really does kind of give us a window into how the league and obviously the networks view certain teams for the upcoming season, how marketable they are, and you know, how good a TV they make. But, yeah, I think you might be onto something there. I think they're Yeah, even with the tough ending of the season, you got to figure they're one of the teams that will attract a lot of eyeballs.
Eric Edholm, YahooSports.com. Eric, always great to talk to you. Thanks for joining us. Enjoy the rest of your Total Request Thursday.
I will indeed. All right, thanks, fellas.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.